those who exercise authority and power can be found in the pages of Time magazine. There you will find the list of the world's 100 most influential people. Each one of these has carved out for him or herself a certain area, a certain domain, a kingdom in which to exercise their authority. And that list will include those who you immediately think of as having power, politicians, but it will also extend to those who you might call trendsetters, those who are calling the shots, whose influence and jurisdiction goes beyond geographical boundaries, whose influence is in the hearts and in the minds of people everywhere. You'll find names like Beyoncé that you wouldn't expect as being influential, but apparently they are. And so some of the names you will know, and some will leave you scratching your head. These are our so-called great ones. Jesus, of course, doesn't make the cut, although Pope Francis does, and interestingly, he is written about by President Barack Obama. That's kind of an irony in itself. But I don't think that it will bother Jesus much not to be on the list. After all, when Jesus mentions the Gentiles and their ways, he doesn't sound envious of their accolades. Here is what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? When you pray, do not babble as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that by their many words they will be heard. And then, as we heard today, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise their authority over them. It shall not be so among you. They are tyrants, manipulators, enslavers. And so their activity, their prayer, and their kingdoms are not the basis or the model for Jesus' kingdom. Whether they call it influence, leadership, agenda making, it is all a matter of extending their control, of pushing themselves and their wants to the top while keeping everyone else beneath. Get yours or get used. And this isn't limited, of course, just to the Gentiles. It was this very idea of exercising power, of sucking everything up into themselves, that drew Jesus' anger against the scribes and the Pharisees. Do not do what they do, he says, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger. They do all their deeds to be seen. They love the place of honor, the best seats, the greetings, being called rabbis. But all of this is condemned. They keep the honor, the glory, the prestige to themselves and keep everyone else underneath. Over against both the Gentiles' exercise of authority and the Pharisees' love of it, Jesus says the same thing. Whoever wills to be great among you must become your servant, and whoever wills to be first must be your slave. You see the difference? With Jesus, there is not grasping for power. There is not using it to build himself up. With Jesus, there is trust that the future, the reward, the glory is not a thing to be controlled, but it is his Father's to give. And so here is something totally different. The kingdom of heaven is set against the kingdom of Gentiles and Pharisees. Just prior to today's reading is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. You know the parable. All of these men are standing there without work, and they're called into the vineyard. Some early in the morning, some at the third, sixth, ninth, 11th hour, and all receive their wage. But of course, some of them complain. But to them, the master answers, "Is it not in my authority to do what I will with my own? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" You see his authority. Is it not my authority to do what I will with my own? His is an authority that does not lord it over or tyrannize, but is generous. And he doesn't just give random favors or work contracts. He gives his very self. We have a very different king than the rulers of the nations. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In his kingdom, there are not rivals to be kept from the throne, to be bound under self-serving control, to stay forever in his debt. No, with Jesus, there are disciples to be ransomed, brothers and sisters to be set free from enslavement and brought into the liberty of the kingdom of heaven. And so, if you wish to sit with Jesus in his kingdom, well, you wish a very good thing. But know what you are asking, and especially know if you want your mother to ask for you. You are asking to follow in the way of Jesus, this Son of Man who Daniel saw. To this one belongs all power, all dominion, all glory. But that Son of Man is also the servant who Isaiah saw, who gives himself as a sacrifice for sin. And so if you would share in his glory, you must share in his humility. Whoever wills to be first among you must be your slave. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the Gentiles, of the nations." His authority is not idle. It's at work wherever this gospel is proclaimed. But don't mistake it for the authority or the influence of Time magazine. Don't expect the honor of the Pharisees. Simply follow where your king leads. Into Jerusalem, to a coronation not on a throne, but on a cross, with a title written above in mock irony, "Villains on his right and on his left." Drink from his cup. Share in his love, in his humility, in his giving of himself, in his generosity, and find that that cup is not full of the Father's wrath, but of life with your king, life governed by his authority, by his life, by his sacrifice. It's not a matter of control, of keeping the authority and the power for yourself. Leave the sorting out to your heavenly Father. And as the Father has raised Jesus, so he will raise all who belong to him. In his name, amen.